You're listening to a DM podcast.
What's for dinner?
Stop licking each other.
He killed my banana.
Don't even think about it.
He's touching me.
Okay, I'm going to count to three.
Where are you?
One.
He's looking at me weird.
Ryan, where's the wine?
Don't you let me get to three.
I love you, Mummy.
Stop playing with your doodles.
This is Beyond the Chaos.
This is Beyond the Chaos.
Welcome back to Beyond the Chaos. You're here with Jen Muir. I'm a parent educator and mum of four boys, and I'm here with
Amy Gerard, mum of three kids and just overshare on social media. So I want to just quickly ask you, how is your book going? Because you've released a book. It came out on the 30th of January.
I have read it.
Look at me go. And it is, I feel like every single parent in the world needs to read this book, or it should be given to them when they leave the hospital with their baby. It just puts you at ease.
Thank you so much. Do you know what? I've been so overwhelmed and so grateful for everyone who's bought it and shared about it. Every single person who tells me they've bought it or they're tell me that they found something that resonated in it. It just makes me feel so amazing.
Yeah, it's like the purpose, the reason you did it, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That's for me, if it makes a difference to just one parent, yes. That is it. So absolutely. But I was going to ask you, because I know you've got a book coming out.
Yes.
And it's called Strap Yourself In.
Strap Yourself In.
Which I love. It's like it's just like a motto for motherhood, right?
Right. It's exactly what it is. But it's not even about motherhood. It's about every element and aspect and season of your life, and it's all about, yeah, I won't give too much away, but
so
yes.
So I wanted to ask you a question though. Yeah. Have you recorded your audiobook yet?
I am actually going to be recording all of next week. So I'm in the studio somewhere in North Sydney recording Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So in the tiny little room. So I did this at the end of last year for yes. my book, and I wanted to tell you, I wanted to give you a hot tip.
Oh, God.
Just make sure you eat breakfast, and because you know what I was not prepared for?
What?
Is just how much stomach noise comes into the mic. And so I'd be reading my book thinking I'm doing really well, and they'd come in from the booth outside and go, Jen, tummy, we're hearing the tummy. And you can hear it because you've got your earphones on and it's just you in this padded cell, right?
Yeah.
And so you'd hear like this beast from the depths, like, and they just go, Jen, you need to go eat something. We cannot keep going.
Oh.
So that's my hot tip is eat your brekkie.
So I got this offer through and they were like, oh, can you do some recordings for us just so we can hear your pitch and tone, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, I've got a podcast. Here's the link.
Go listen to my previous work.
And they were like, yeah, no, but your podcast is a free-for-all. So like we need you to read a chapter of your book and send it through to us. And I sent it through and the feedback was like, in really nice language, it was basically like, slow the fuck down.
Yeah.
You talk 1 million miles an hour and you don't draw breath and you're finishing on an up. And I was like, so I had to re-record and it felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. I was reading like Beyond the Chaos with Jen Muir and Amy Gerard. And they were like, you know, you've got to be talking as if you're having a table conversation with friends. And I said, yeah, and I'd be talking fast.
I'd be motoring.
I would be motoring, and I'm a fast talker and I'm really loud. My whole life my dad has been like, lower your voice, Amy. So I feel like I'm actually really going to struggle. Did you do it in 5 days?
It took me 4.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? That just reminded me of a pretty funny story.
Yes.
My mum is listening to our podcast.
Oh, hi, Mum.
Hi, Maz. And she kept saying to me, I'm listening to the podcast, but you two are speaking so fast. I can't understand a word of it. I just can't even keep up. Like, you need to slow down. Anyway, she just kept saying, you've got to slow down, you've got to slow down. And then finally she worked out she was listening to it at 2 times the speed. So she's got, got the speed back to normal and it's sounding a bit better now.
We would have also sounded like chipmunks.
She goes, I like it, but I can't keep up.
That is so funny.
Anyway, thanks for listening, Maz.
Okay, let's chat about our fails. Let's get it out of the way.
I've got a really big one.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't think I was ready to share.
Let it out. This is a safe
space.
But
I'm in the room with Amy.
Yes.
And this is what happens. Okay, so my fail is this. My youngest child was complaining of a toothache.
Yes.
Over the weekend. He's like, I've got this toothache. He was crying so much. He couldn't eat. And we were like, you know, you're fine.
Have some
anyway,
Nurofen.
Have some, Moving right along. Anyway, the Oracle said one morning, I think we need to take him to a dentist. I said, there will be nothing, but okay. So we packed him off to the dentist. I get a panicked call from the Oracle at the dentist. I was shopping and he said, you need to get here now. This is not good. He needs to get the tooth removed. I thought, oh my goodness, why would he need a tooth removed? And he said, well, it's rotten. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how did this happen? Like, was it lollies over summer? Like, what has happened? And he said, well, if you recall, Jen, our child needed a filling about 7 months ago.
Yes.
And it was booked in and all set up and he got gastro. He got really sick. I cancelled it, as you do.
Okay, and then you didn't
completely
rebook.
Forgot. So it's been 6 months.
Yes.
And this hole has just been absolutely demolishing his tooth. So he had to get a 12-year-old molar, a tooth yes. that should not come out till he's 12, removed. Yes. Look, I'm super embarrassed. And I think there could be people out there maybe with less children than me thinking, dude, like that is a pretty bad fail. But I think there are probably lots of mums with multiple kids and lots going on that will go, shit happens.
Shit absolutely happens. Teeth fall out all over the place. If it helps, I had all four of my molars pulled out, and a lot of kids do. So let's be honest, he's probably going to get it removed anyway. He's just got it removed a little bit earlier.
A little bit early. So what we did, we put it in a jar.
Yes.
Right? And it's got this big black hole in the side of it.
Yes.
We've got a label on it, and it's in our bathroom on the shelf where the boys brush their teeth, and it just says, have you brushed your teeth? Oh. And the tooth is sitting in the jar.
And, oh my God, and so, like a warning.
Yeah, it's my warning. I'm like carrying that jar. Everyone who comes to my house for dinner, I show their kids.
Oh
look at this.
Oh my God.
This is what happens if you don't brush your teeth.
That is actually, I feel like that may be slightly a win as well.
It's a win.
And I bet you all of the boys are brushing their teeth more now, right?
My children are brushing their teeth morning and night like little
demons. Can you
bring
that tooth to my house?
I will bring it to your house.
But you know, I've heard this. So I've been told this by multiple dentists. The type of enamel and teeth that you're going to have is determined for you when you're in uterus.
Wow.
So your son might just have shitty teeth.
Maybe. Or maybe his parents should have got that tooth filled, but that's
fine.
Hey,
I'm trying to make you feel better.
Moving on, Amy, what was your fail?
My fail was, I mean, I feel like it might be a pretty standard one, but I sent Bobby to school in the wrong school uniform last week. I'm getting confused because his sports day used to be on a... Hang on. I don't even remember.
Why did they change things?
Why have they changed it? I don't know. And then
it's not fair.
I sent it. Anyway, I've sent him in his sports uniform and it was his normal uniform day. And with our school, like, we kind of just drop off at the front and then you go through a gate and you don't really see any kids until you're up into the playground, by which stage I've left.
Too late. How did he feel?
He was very angry at me.
Yeah.
So he's a very sensitive little soul.
Doesn't want to get it wrong.
Yeah. So he was a bit angry at me and I felt like a piece of shit. So
what about my kids in their Zoom outfits? Remember that?
I do. It's so good. Like corporate up the top
corporate
and sports
top.
Down the bottom. Well, I now have a notification in my phone. That's the only way I can move forward. I have notifications for everything, all extracurricular. Charlie's got dancing on Monday, acro on Friday. Bobby's sports day is Thursday.
Oh, my God. We are drowning as parents.
We're drowning.
We're drowning. Yeah. Somebody help us.
Yeah, I feel like if this podcast does anything, I feel like it's literally going to make every mum or dad just feel better about themselves, right?
Wrong uniform, teeth
rotten tooth.
We've got you.
Yeah.
What's your problem? I need some help.
So next up, we've got a question from Beck with a 6.5-year-old who is heating and bat chatting, which I can't wait to get into. But I just want to say thank you so much for all the energy in the Facebook group.
All the DMs.
All the DMs, the questions. We're just loving it. So do send us your questions with a voice note, please. And jump in that Facebook group and just share how it's going. There's been so many mums just helping each other out.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to create, right? Like
a community.
Safe space for mums to come and share their dilemmas and offer each other advice, what's worked for them and all of that stuff. So I feel like it's growing and it's becoming like a little community of like-minded women. So definitely jump into the Facebook group.
We love it. And so let's hear from Beck.
Hi, Amy and Jen. Just wondering about how to handle our 6.5-year-old. He's just started year one this past 6 months or so has been a bit of a test. The back chatting, the hitting, getting angry, the frustrated feelings. We're just so unsure how to handle this. Myself and my partner don't know how to handle it. We've tried the soft approach, just trying to sort of work out what to do, what not to do, trying to get away from how our parents parented, but we're just finding it very difficult how to handle it. Thanks.
What I really heard in this message is that they've tried the soft approach and these parents are also trying to get away from the way they were parented.
Generational parenting, right?
So I'm hearing a lot that I'm really familiar with from my work, and it's such a common thing. I think particularly when you've been parented in a way that, you know, was hard on you, mm-hmm. if your parents were kind of scary at times, mm-hmm. which is super common. Like, you know, for most of us, even in beautiful, loving homes, we were smacked, we were sent to our rooms.
Yep.
But then there's a lot of people where it was worse than that. Yes. And so I can hear this in this tone, and I think when you are trying to actively get away from something that didn't feel good for you or that you know wouldn't be in the best interest of your child, it can make you really scared to know how to set a boundary. And sometimes even just being firm and saying no to our child around something like hitting, it can just feel like you feel so lost because you're desperately trying not to be what your parents were, what was modeled for you. And yet at the same time, that can have you feeling a bit stuck, a bit lost, a bit unable to hold a limit.
That's exactly what I struggle with, because my dad, also very similar to what you said, grew up in a really loving family, but my dad was so strict and there was a lot of discipline and I got smacked and sent to my room and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want that kind of approach with my kids. But then when they are acting out, and then you've got my dad in my ear being like, well, you never behaved like this and you three never stepped out. Oh, you never disrespected me like that. It's almost like I'm like, did he do something right? Like, am I not
completely?
Am I not firm enough?
Yeah. It's a really common. It's a really common thing. Mm. I had a dad once I was working with say it better than anyone I've ever heard of, and he just said, "Look, you know, I'm doing all the stuff, Jen. Like I'm following your stuff, and I, you know, beautiful dad. He's trying so hard raising these girls, and he's like, and I'm doing, you know, I'm saying, I hear you've got a problem, and you know, welcoming feelings. And he goes, I get it, but he goes, my dad, you know, he would have hit first and asked questions later. So what we need to kind of be aware of is that, look. That was the times, and our parents did the best they could. And there were, while, you know, Amy, you've turned out okay, I've turned out okay, there were significant downsides of this in that there are lots of people that then grew up, and when it comes to their own feelings like fear and sadness, they struggle to feel their feelings and they numb and they drink and they shop and they need to get therapy and all of that stuff. So we're just hoping to do that a little bit better for our kids.
Yes.
But I would say to this parent, you're doing an amazing job. It is hard to do it differently to the generations before. And boundaries can be really tricky. Mm-hmm. One of the things I recommend if anyone is feeling like this is really hard for me and my background was really challenging and I want to overcome that, is thinking about circle of security parenting, which I've talked about before, which runs all across Australia, actually all across the world, and often is free or like $20 to do through most Catholic cares, Dracilians, like community centres.
Do you have to go somewhere or can you do it online?
You can do it online. I run it for Catholic care, but you can do it online. That's one option. You can also follow me. I've got options with boundaries and I do cover this in my book. But I want to just sort of break down to kind of for this mum something she could do now. So she's getting back chat and she's getting and he's hitting. So let's look about what we can control, what we can't. So I like to think about having core rules. I think we've talked about this maybe before. So if you have three core rules, three really good ones are we don't hit or hurt each other or ourselves, we don't damage property, and we don't call names. You know, something like that is a really good three core rules. And we kind of make sure that when our child is breaking one of those rules, and the reason why we have those rules is because that is harm to us or our staff or others, right? Those three things. That's our cue. We need to step in with a boundary. And it's a different boundary to the boundary you'd set around getting your shoes on or bedtime, right?
Yep.
Because there's a safety issue.
Yeah.
So we're setting a boundary quite differently. And so when a core rule is being broken, we're stepping in quite differently. And so I'd be saying, look, a kid back chatting, which I get, oh my goodness, a lot of that.
All the time, yeah.
Jeebus. I'm going to let that ride. If my child calls me a horrendous name, scared to say it on the mic, just imagine, then I'm going to go, whoa, I'm going to have to stop you there. I won't let you talk to me like that, is how I would say that. So if a core rule's been broken, so if this child then hits, for example, I reckon maybe they go to say no to something and then he hits them, super common, like you're not alone, kids will do this because they're dysregulated, they don't want to be hitting, he doesn't want to be a bad kid, but he absolutely needs you to stop him. So I'd be stepping in to him and just saying, hey, I'm not going to let you hit, and I'd be physically holding his arms. Now that's going to feel really hard if you come from a house where you're trying to avoid, you know, being too aggressive because your parents were aggressive. So I just want to acknowledge it's really hard. Do reach out and think about circle of security or read my book for extra help with that. But it sounds like this child is really saying, show me who's at the wheel. And that can be really hard when you've had parents that were so at the wheel you didn't get a say. So I just want to acknowledge it is super, super hard. Get some help with it, and also just try to find that way to set boundaries around those core three things. Would you add anything?
Just listening to her, she specifically mentioned that he'd started year one and that it had started happening then. So just my take on that would be like, is there something happening at school? I don't know, is there a bullying issue or is he struggling with work or something? Is he then coming home? Because if it is something that's just started, is it common that if they are struggling with certain things at school that they then come home? Like I know my kids are usually really well behaved at school, then they come home and they just unpack and they unload.
Such a good question, and I would completely agree. Like one of the first things we want to look at always is what's behind this behaviour.
Yeah.
You know, what is going on, and finding out if there is something that he is struggling with at school.
Yeah.
You still want to stop him from hitting at home. Of course, but I love that question because absolutely we'd want to know why, if particularly if it's been a sudden change.
Yeah.
And I think year one, like sometimes you can, you know, if your child is struggling socially or academically or something is happening at school, you can sort of muddle through kindy okay, right? And then you get to year one and almost like it gets harder. The pressures are more, the expectations of teachers or fellow students are more.
Yep.
And so suddenly, you know, the shit can hit the fan a bit for your child. And then they're coming home and just letting you know I'm not okay in the best way that they can.
So, which isn't necessarily the way we take it, right?
We just think, oh, I'm failing. So you're not failing. It sounds completely normal. Yeah. And back chatting and hitting is definitely something kids are going to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, have a look at boundaries.
Yeah.
This is Beyond the Chaos.
So much chaos.
Okay, next question is from Kath. She has beautiful twins, and I really wanted to play this question for you because one of my girlfriends is struggling with the exact same issue.
Hey, Jen and Amy, my question is, I have 3-year-old twin boys, and for a while now, when I get to daycare pickup or to pick them up from their grandparents' house, they will start going up and kicking other kids, punching my parents, wiping toys off the table, messing things up, pretty much doing anything they can, obviously seeking attention. My question is, how do I approach this besides all the normal things of talking to them, especially when it's in a public space? There's also, there's two of them, so I find if I get to one and they're happy to see me, the other one is off doing, you know, the kicking or the messing up, you know, at the other end of the daycare. So I'm just a little bit lost, like, why are they doing this and what is the best way I can talk to them about that to help, I guess, navigate it? Thank you so much. Love your guys' work.
What was it?
How cute is it at the end? What was that?
When I used to pick up Bobby, he wasn't so much destructive, but he, when I was trying to leave, he would always want to play with all the toys and he would always want to take the toys home and he just used to fart around for ages and ages. So what one of his educators and I actually spoke about, and this could be useful for this mum, is I used to call when I was 10 minutes away and I would say, hey, I'm 10 minutes away. Could you get their bags ready for me and almost meet me in the foyer?
I love that.
More often than not, these twins are probably going to be better behaved for the educators, as you know, most kids tend to be. They also probably aren't going to know what's going on to begin with, right? So for a couple of I don't know how many times a week they go, but maybe for like a week or two, you could just have a conversation with one of their educators, have their bags packed and say, hey, can I meet you in the front of the, where the door is or somewhere like that. And that's going to eliminate that, the kicking and the punching and the destroying of the room. Because I know that at the end of the day that it's all been set up nicely, ready for the next day. So I can imagine it would be frustrating for the mum just as much as it would be for the, you know, educators.
I love that suggestion. And yeah. I just think, gosh, can everybody give this lady a hand?
Yeah.
She's got two kids.
Yes.
And it's and twins do. They feed off each other.
Yes.
So that's a really normal thing. I do have an idea why they're doing it. So I'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to just add to what you said.
Yeah.
Build on it, as we say. Yeah.
Build on it, babes.
Help. Let's get some help.
Yeah.
So talk to the daycare and say, listen, can you guys help me
yes.
with this? If she's greeting one of the twins, can someone else help contain yeah. the other twin? So I kind of feel like surely we can give Kath a hand
yes,
with these beautiful
absolutely.
Guys. The thing that she said, like a couple of things that I note, because she's sort of thinking, why are they doing this? And I know this feeling as parents. She's thinking, are they destined for a life of high crime? Tell me, are they going to be tagging
no.
vehicles? And yeah. I just want to say, no, they are not. And I think kids, so behaviour is always there. It's always an underlying emotion to behaviour. So what's happening is we've had a separation and it's always when she picks them up from grandma's or the daycare, they mm-hmm. do this. Mm-hmm. So for whatever reason, and it might be that they did this once and it got a big reaction
yes.
and that felt either exciting or terrifying. It can be anything, but either way they got connection.
Yes.
So she said, are they seeking attention? You know, yeah, and they're seeking connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want to think of this as. So they've had a disconnect. We've been apart. And so when they see mum, some kids burst into tears. Some kids will save it for the car. These kids are trash in the daycare, right? So they're just saying, I see my mum
yep.
and I'm communicating that this is just overwhelming that we've been apart and you're back. And so we as adults with fully grown prefrontal cortexes just think, surely, just give me a hug.
Yeah.
Right?
Make it simple.
Make it easy.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, ask each other how our days were. Can we just do that? And kids don't do that, right?
Yes.
And so this is the equivalent of the child that has the after-school meltdown. This is the equivalent of the child that hits their sibling out
mm-hmm.
of nowhere in the car. And you're thinking, we just got back together.
Mm-hmm.
It is just the communication of this feels hard in my body. So what can we do for these twins to ease that? So the conversation I'd be having is not so much don't do this, don't do that, is let's get to that underlying feeling. When mummy comes in to pick you up from grandma's or daycare, it feels a lot in your bodies, doesn't it? And sometimes you want to just go crazy and knock stuff off the tables and punch all your friends. And I get that that feeling is big, but I'm not going to let you punch your friends or knock stuff off the table. So here is what's going to happen next time I pick you up from daycare. And then we have to have a plan. And that's where, because there's two of them, I would like to see her working with the daycare
yeah.
to develop that plan. And I loved your suggestion.
Yep.
The daycare, you know, your daycare teacher is now going to bring you to the front with your backpack on. Mummy is going to hold your hands. And if you try to pull away, I'm not going to let you because this is what we're going to do. And we're going to get in the car. And we might even I'm not for rewards, but might say, and if we can do that really well, then we can.
Yeah.
Have some really special time together and blah, blah, blah.
Do you think it registers with a three-year-old though? Like, do you think they're listening to what you're saying and going, oh, okay,
yeah. I mean, I reckon our children can understand empathy from birth. Like, we're changing their nappy and they're crying and we say, oh, no, you don't like this bit. I get it.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy, but 90% of communication is nonverbal. So when we allow that feeling, we're saying, you are not alone with that.
Mm.
The minute we do that, that feeling feels less intense.
That's really interesting. But, yeah, I would definitely call on the educators or go with your mum to pick
up.
Yeah,
I was going to say because it sounds like she's got involved parents.
Yes.
So even if just, you know, it can feel like, but I can't do this forever. I get it. But sometimes we invest really solidly in letting our kids know this is what's going to happen
yep.
and dad's going to be there or grandparents going to be there or the daycare worker's going to help. So, Kath, you need someone on your team.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping we can get someone with you
yep.
and you can go in solidarity.
Yes. But if you do try this out and it does work for
or
you.
Or fails.
Just let us know regardless and we can kind of try and brainstorm some other things.
Or jump in the Facebook group, let us know, give us an update.
Yeah.
And if it's not quite perfect, we'll tweak it.
Yeah. You beauty.
This is Beyond the Chaos.
What's chaos, Mum?
Okay, guys, it's time for the wins.
Yes.
Amy, have you had a win?
I had a really, really nice moment with Bobby. It was a couple of weeks ago, but it's just stuck with me. And he came into the podcast studio with me and we recorded a little podcast for Beyond the Likes. I actually just wanted to jump on and let mums who have challenging, spirited, really hard children that it does get easier.
Yeah, that is so good.
Yeah, because that has absolutely happened in Bobby's case. But I jumped on with him. I brought him in. He was only on for 5 minutes, but I said to him, we were talking about school holidays, and I said, you know, what's been your favourite part of school holidays? And he's gone to flip out, and he's done rock climbing, he's done so many things, and he said, my favourite part is spending time all together as a family.
Oh,
stop, Bobs. He's so cute. He's such an empath, and every time we get in the pool, if we all do like a family swim, he's like, this is the best day of my life. Aww. Like, he just wants us all to be together.
So nice.
And he really has come full circle.
And this is the thing about these full-on kids. They often are so big-hearted, and if parents can just survive.
Just
survive the first few years. It gets so good.
Ride through the eye of the storm, because, yeah, it is. It's about the big emotions, right? And when they're so little, they just don't know how to work through
them. You've got to take those wins.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was my win, even though it was a few weeks ago. It's definitely something that stuck with me. But talk to me about your win.
Well, you saying one of those wins, those moments as parents where you just think, oh, I'm doing something right, reminded me of one of mine from the holidays. We went to Japan back in January, and my little third born, Tommy, this old lady gets on a subway, busy subway in Tokyo. All my four boys are there. Everybody's just surviving, right?
Yep.
And my little Tommy stands, and I thought, why is he standing up? And I realised he's standing up because this sort of not even that old, but this older lady had walked on the train, and he's there standing. He's nine.
My God.
Just going, would you like a seat? And I just thought, oh, my goodness, bless my heart.
Well, I would have welled up. That is really beautiful.
I was just like, oh, something is working here. You know, and just, you know, just not to praise myself too much, my two older children absolutely would not notice that woman. Like, just to be clear, this is not just like something
you're
I've done.
You're allowed to praise yourself.
Well, it's more him, I guess. But, it was a good moment.
It's a win.
Oh, that's a win. You know, we're trying to teach our kids to be compassionate and kind. And, you know, a little bit's happening. So that was a really good thing.
Speaking of big feelings, I'm just going to give you a shameless plug again for your book, Little People, Big Feelings. I want to know how many listeners out there have bought this book. What do you think?
Tell us what's resonating.
Yeah.
We'd love to know.
Or maybe there's a chapter that you really has become so helpful.
Yeah.
Or that you've applied in your own life. It's a book that I wish that I had 8 years ago.
Yeah, I hope it's making parents feel good, but I love hearing how it's going.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap this up, but please, if you haven't already joined us on the Facebook group, join us. We're a really fun bunch of like-minded mums who are all just trying to, you know, pave our way forward as parents. Obviously, our DMs are always open.
Yeah, share your wins, share your fails.
Yes.
Share it all.
It's a safe space. There's no judgment from us whatsoever.
Yeah.
And we will see you in a fortnight's time.
Can't wait.
See you guys.